I thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, come. Be with us. Be with us. In your precious and most holy name. Amen. 1 Kings 17. Now this is when Elijah had already told Ahab, and we talked about Elijah last week, the Mount of Carmel, on Mount Carmel, and the flames of fire, his servants, the Lord's servants, and how Elijah was one, and how God is calling us to be his flaming servants. He makes his servants, Psalms 104 tells us, he makes his servants a flaming fire. And so this is kind of part two to that message. Because this is what he's birthing in us. Servants who are flames of fire. So Elijah has already said it's not going to rain. So we're going back in time a little bit from last week. He's already said it's not going to rain till I say so. And God sent him away. The ravens fed him. And now the water is drying up because there's been no rain. And he is going to the widow that God has prepared to feed him. So verse 8, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain me. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said to her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. So why are we reading this in today's time? Well, the Lord told me that 2022 was going to be the year of the catalyst. What is a catalyst? A catalyst is something that thrusts you forward. It will either thrust you forward in God, or it will thrust you forward in the enemy's plans for your life. If we do not believe that Satan has plans for us and that the Lord has plans for us, we need to reset and reorder our thinking, because the enemy, his primary goal is to take you off course. He lives to take the Christian off course so that he can mock the saints of God as he tortures them. He lives and breathes to take the saints of God off course. The Lord thy God has prepared a path for thee. The Lord thy God has prepared a path for thee. And if you have been with this ministry for any length of time, you understand your path in this hour is that of the intercessor. So I'm going to address a couple of things in this passage tonight that's important for us to remember and to hold on to in the days ahead. Why? Because the enemy is trying to thwart the plans of God. That's what he's doing. What we see happening in Afghanistan right now, they're trying to start World War III. That's what they're doing. The chaos in the Middle East will bring war to neighboring nations, and we either get in it or they come to us. They have our weapons, and they can reverse engineer anything that they have to make more. They are second only to America in their possession of Black Hawks. The helicopters, the most sophisticated helicopters on the planet. And they own, they're second right now, the Taliban is. And I am not saying this to cause fear in your heart. I'm saying this because this is the moment where we are thrust forward. Prophetic advancement is about us being thrust forward in God. Forward. The enemy wants to thrust the earth into chaos. He wants to thrust the earth into World War III. Why? To expedite the end times. But we, his children, his intercessors, are to be the barrier to push him back. So if we see what's going on out there, and we see the plan of the enemy, it's not our job to be fearful of what the enemy is doing. It's our job to take a stand and put a line in the sand and say, you will not cross because I'm the child of the king. You will not cross this boundary I set before you because I am a child of the king. And he has given me the authority. And if you're walking with this ministry, he's given us that authority. So when you come here to pray, and as we share things that might be fearful, I encourage you to ask the Lord to let you see through his eyes what's being said and what's being done in the earth. Because if you can see things through his eyes, you can rise up in the faith he wants you to rise up in. And I'm going to explain that through this passage. This woman, the nameless widow, there's several nameless widows in the Bible, but this woman comes and she is gathering two sticks, so that she can go and make her last meal for her and her son. And then they'll die. And she comes upon this man. Now, I don't know, this is a long time ago. They definitely didn't have social media. Word of mouth spread pretty far and wide, but there were no massive pictures being generated. You weren't being captured 17 times a day by somebody's camera. So there wasn't posters up, wanted Elijah. He looks like this. We don't even know if this woman knew really who Elijah was. But when he looked into her eyes, as she was leaning down to pick up those sticks, to gather them to prepare this meal for her and her son. Now, I want to explain something to you. When we are hungry, we'll do almost anything for food, right? I mean, we get to that point, our blood sugar, depending upon who you are, our blood sugar starts dropping, and we get to that point where we are so stinking hungry, we don't know what we're going to do. We're going to chew off somebody's arm. That's what we're going to do. Because we need food. I read a study one time that said within 3 days of a person being homeless, they will start digging through the trash to find food. Within 5 days, they are willing to go and steal food off the grocery store shelves. 5 days. And you go from respectable housewife to a shoplifter. And in between that, you're digging in the trash. If you have a child, what happens? You can just triple that. There was a period of time with me and my oldest daughter. It was just kind of her and I against the world. I was in rebellion. I just got to put that out there. So it was her and I against the world. My mom's out in ministry, and I'm just, nope, I'm going to go with this on my own. And finances were really tight. And so there was a season of time that Tiffany, my oldest, when money was real tight, then I would prepare her food and I would eat what's left over. There was a period of time that I went and I spent a number of days where I learned that oranges would kind of keep your blood sugar stable and up a little. And I went for a number of days living on oranges. In my stubbornness, I could have called my mom at any moment and she would have helped me. But in my stubbornness, I resisted. I wouldn't do it because my daughter had food. But I would starve myself for my daughter because she had to eat. So you're looking at a woman who is living in the midst of a drought. In the midst of a drought, everything is gone. Elijah had been at the brook where he had been fed by ravens until there was no more water in that brook. Months on end with nothing. At least a season where they could not plant and they could not water. So she was scrounging. People were dying of starvation in this nation because of the sin of the nation and Ahab and Jezebel. So when she leaned down to get those two sticks, and he said, "Bring me a little water." And as she walked away, and he said, "When you come back, can you hand me a morsel of food?" And she turned around and she said, "I am gathering these sticks to prepare a fire so that I can take what little meal I have and what little oil I have left and knead them on the kneading bread. And I'm going to rub these two sticks together until a fire starts, and I'm going to put it in the oven, and my son and I are going to share what is left of all that we have. And then we are going to die." She felt it with everything she had in her. Everything she had in her had to preserve the life of her small son. Everything in her had to preserve her life long enough that she wouldn't die before he did. Everything in her, every part of her, wanted to flee from him. Until she looked in his eyes, and I had an experience, and the Lord took me to this moment, and I looked into Elijah's eyes, and something emanated from him. And when she looked in his eyes, because she was even willing to have the conversation with him, there was an inbirthing of faith that hit her right in the heart. And right in her spirit, and it welled up in her that if she did this, his words will come to pass, and it will be the saving grace of me and my son. That was the catalyst to turn around and even have the conversation with him, thrust her into survival. Because she stopped and she heard the word of the Lord. She was willing to consider the word of the Lord. And when he spoke to her, it pierced her heart. And her spirit had an inversing of faith. In that very moment, her life was saved. Not only hers, but the life of her son and the life of her family. All who would have died had she not been willing to turn around. And hear the word of the Lord. It was her catalyst. Faith is a catalyst, my friends. It launches you forward into receiving the word of the Lord. Faith launches you forward deeper in God. Faith enables you and launches you forward as an intercessor. Faith is why you become a flaming fire for God. Faith. Hebrews chapter 11. What is that entire chapter about? The imbirthing of faith. Of people who would hold on to the promise of God, regardless of what they saw in front of them. They held on to the promise of God. Faith is a belief and a hope in things not seen. The entire chapter of Hebrews 11 speaks of the heroes of our faith who, on that very moment, they received the word of the Lord and it burst faith inside of their spirit man. And it thrusts them forward into flaming fires for the kingdom of heaven. It saved them. It saved their families. It saved their heritage. So when I say to you that the enemy wants to launch World War III and expedite the end times, but God says no, and you are the barrier, the boundary, preventing that from coming to this nation, that God wants to reset and reorder things, I want to say to you, faith, rise up within your spirit man in the name of Jesus and receive the word of the Lord for this hour. 2022 will be the catalyst to launch you forward in God farther than you ever thought possible. You may spend more time on your face before him, but you will rise up a warrior. And when you walk in a room, the enemy will shake and quake in your presence. Faith is what's causing the people of Afghanistan, the Christians, to believe for God to safely get them out. And they are having dreams and visions to part the way and get them out of Afghanistan and into safety. Faith is what does that. In Acts chapter 7, what do we have? We have the stoning of the first martyr, Stephen. And what happens in the midst of that? There is a great dispersion of the Christians, all but the apostles, which was a miracle in and of itself because of anybody. Those were the guys they wanted to take out. But God kept them in Jerusalem. Every person, every believer was either thrown into the lion's den or they fled into other areas. And you know what they did? They used it as a catalyst. God used it as a catalyst to thrust the church of God forward. The church multiplied and grew in numbers exponentially. Friends, whatever you see on the surface, we've got to get a hold of God because 2022 is going to be the year of the catalyst. And if you step into fear, the enemy is going to grab hold of that fear and he's going to pull you out of God's will. You've got to grab hold of faith. Faith is the exact opposite of fear. So the minute you start feeling anxiety, you need to bind it up in the name of Jesus and look to the word of the Lord. The inbursting of faith. Is faith is a substance in the belief of things not yet seen. That's the promise of God, the word of the Lord. He wants to thrust us forward in Him. I asked the Lord the other day, I said, how come you're always giving me next year's word in September? And He said, whose calendar are you on anyway? And I went, oh, I get it. We are coming upon the end of the Jewish New Year, of the Jewish year, and we are stepping into next year in the Jewish timeline. That's why He always gives me the word of the Lord in September. I encourage you to use this season of time. Use it to let God thrust you forward in Him in profound, unprecedented ways. Because 2022 is going to be the year of the catalyst. We are going to see things that we have been hoping for released in the earth. Things that God has promised released in the earth in unprecedented ways. We are going to see a move of God that will be unprecedented. You're probably going to hear me say that a lot in the coming days. Unprecedented move of God. If your faith is weak, if your faith, and I don't want to say weak because it sounds negative. If your faith is weary, I'm going to pray for you. And then I want to encourage you to get a hold of your concordance and read every scripture on faith and ask God. You can do it online. There's lots of Bible programs that will do that. You just key in scriptures on faith. And they'll pull up 100 of them for you. And pray them. Pray the Word of God. Because the Word of God is the authority of the Spirit. And it is life. And it will breathe life and regeneration into your spirit, man. Heavenly Father, I lift up my brothers and sisters who are on this line. I lift them up to you, O God. The things that you have shared, the things that are coming, the plans of the enemy, Father God, they are nothing compared to your plans. Your desire, O God, is to bring us into a deeper and more intimate relationship with you, where we live, we breathe in, and we breathe out the Word of God, where our time with you has become something that we crave. They say give 10% of your income in tithes. We say let's give 10% of our time, oh God, immersed in you. 10% of our time, our 24-hour period, immersed in you. Let your word come in and, Lord God, impart itself in every cell until your word is a catalyst for every breath that we breathe, every word that we speak, every thought that we have. It's your word. This is a season, O God, where you are going to thrust us forward in you if we will, O Lord God, immerse ourselves in you. For my brothers and sisters that are weary in the fight, Lord God, strengthen and invigorate them. Impart your spirit into them at the cellular level, oh God, and begin to re-energize them at the bone marrow, oh God. At the marrow of their bones, let your spirit ignite life in them. Give them hope of things not yet seen. Reminding them, O Lord, that you bring forth your word through your prophets to give hope to the people of God in the midst of chaos. That's why we are the flaming fires across the land. I thank you, Father God, for each and every one of them. Bless them as they pour out tonight in prayer with us. I thank you, Lord. We love you and we give you most praise, glory, and honor. In your precious name, amen. Thank you, Kim.